Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Sean Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, my guest is Michael Hester. He is an educator, etc. He is with Gatekeepers Joliet. Michael, welcome to the show, and how are you doing?
Thank you, Sean, for having me. I'm doing really good, doing really, really well. I'm glad to be a part of the show.
Well, thank you. Michael, let's start. Could you tell us a little about yourself?
Sure. I have a CEO of Empower 527. It's a professional development and personal development platform. And I say platform because I like to create content to inspire and empower, right? So, before that, I was teaching 15 years, organizational behavior, principles of business, undergrad business courses, and teaching in the university for a while, it showed me that I want to do more. Like, it's just the political aspect of teaching and compared to what we do in real life, it is not enough. So I created Empower 527 because I wanted to give more and to be able to do more and have more control of what I put out there, the content that I create and the material I put out there. So I'm an entrepreneur. First, I like to empower other individuals to have, if they're not full-time entrepreneurs, but have something on the side. You know, I think it's important to enlighten our minds and be active and not just see other people live their best life, but I believe we all can live our best life. So that's one of my purposes in Empower 527 and Gatekeepers, you know, the organization in Joliet. We are building that up here to have an outlet, a platform to empower, you know, Black men and the population of, the community of Joliet. You know, I'm from Joliet, and I wanted to start there, but we do a lot of other things in other areas as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, that's a lot right there. Okay.
Very active.
You had mentioned was positive mindset. And so I would like to start there.
Okay. Well, in my book that I'm writing, one of the elements of success is mindset. So my book is called Define Success, Live with Meaning. And, you know, part of my reason for starting Power 527 is to give us things to give us the right tools to be successful in life. You know, there's a lot of people that we know that are successful, and we see, you know, especially with society and social media, everybody want to be famous, but do you want to be successful? And, you know, to be successful starts with a mindset. So you got to decide what you want. You know, you start with the ending in mind. You know, your mindset is what dictates your behavior, right? So if we're in a bad mood, a lot of times we're going to respond accordingly. But if we can handle stress and handle anxiety and learn how to do things with a positive mindset, we can overcome certain obstacles, but at the same time, we're focusing on a certain purpose to be successful. We're creating a target, right? And, you know, we learn how to be committed and successful with that. So, you know, positive mindsets our mind is what created everything. So this book, the book that I'm writing, the computer, the phone that we're on, everything is created by our thought. So the mind is so powerful, but if we're not educating ourselves or we're not feeding our mind with positive content or productive content as far as to be, you know, educational or whatever we want to do, if we're not feeding our minds with positive things, we're feeding it. And our mindset could dictate a lot of our troubles or issues that we may be having.
I agree. So you were explaining how positive mindset matters, but how would you help someone get there that doesn't have a positive mindset? Because
I think the first part of creating positive mindsets are trying to find humbleness, right, and to be grateful. So I think that, you know, people who are not positive, if you're not positive, like what do people say? They say negative things, right?
Right.
So if you're not, they say negative things, but a lot of times where you're, if you can practice being grateful, there was a study, it said that people who practice gratefulness for 2 weeks, it lasted for 6 months. And what I mean by practice gratefulness is they recorded every day the things that they're grateful for. So, I do this systematically now. I practice what I teach. But in the morning, if it's a smell of coffee in the morning, if it's, you know, it's a bright day and I'm feeling good with my music, I'm driving to work or doing whatever, if I'm in a good mood, I acknowledge those good moments. I acknowledge the little things. So I try to be grateful in that. Then I'll be grateful in what I have. And the things that we want is in our future, but we have to be okay with what we have now and not try to ask for more. So, you know, with positive mindsets, also with people having struggles with that is to really evaluate yourself. You know, just like any job, you know, we have to do evaluation. Our boss come with every day, every year, December, November to December, and they're going to give us our grade for how we did that year. We look at all the things that we did, and we get a grade. So how often do we evaluate ourselves? How often are we evaluating our finances and things like that? So we also evaluate our who we are, like, you know, what type of relationships have I built this year? Have I stayed committed to myself with goals I want? So we ask these questions to ourselves and evaluate ourselves, and then that will make you humble. That will make you start feeling grateful for what you have and start changing certain things. So, you know, but also is finding that purpose. And I'm sorry, you can cut it any time because I enjoy this, so I can be
no, I want
be
you
on
to
a
go
little
on.
Rant.
No, I want okay. you to go on.
Okay. But you're defining your purpose, and purpose is not just, oh, my purpose in life is this. Purpose is I want to get out of debt. Purpose is I want to be a better husband. Purpose is I want to go on vacation 2 times a year with my family, my entire family. So you create these, define what your success is. Again, with my book, define what you want, live with meaning. Once you define what you want and you define what those things are, you have purpose now and you have things you're going through. So it will motivate you in certain aspects, and we'll get into a little bit later about, you know, your finding something that you're focused on can help you alleviate distraction, and it can get you a positive mindset because now you're living with purpose. You have something that sometimes, you know, we may get upset, you know, somebody cut us off on a car or whatever, that's one thing. But sometimes we get upset by things that we do or just we irritated over the littlest thing, and that can, you know, it manifests other things. But if you're, you know, if you have a little more drive when it comes to a direction which you want, it's easier to handle your emotion and get into in check and doing some evaluation when it comes to your emotional intelligence. Your emotional intelligence is how we evaluate ourselves. So there's books on that. I'm writing on that as well to see how we can check ourselves. And emotional intelligence is not just about how you react to, you know, showing your emotions on your sleeve. Emotional intelligence is how you are looking at other individuals and how you respond to them, you know, and making sure you're keeping yourself in check. Because, you know, life is about relationships and being with each other and doing things for others and living with purpose. But sometimes we can be mean to people, and we see that all the time.
I agree. And also with emotional intelligence, how could you teach somebody to relieve stress? or communicate more effectively using emotional intelligence?
Well, when it comes to that, you definitely have to practice, understanding yourself as far as evaluating. And then, when you let me understand the question. You asked how to practice emotional intelligence. Was that your question?
No, how do you relieve stress by using emotional intelligence? Right, relieve stress.
So, it goes into effect of your mindset. So, again, everything starts with the mind. So, you tell yourself in certain situations, and you really evaluate the situation. And a lot of times if you give yourself a few seconds first before you respond, a lot of times our first response is the worst response. But, thinking positive about it, and like, for instance, life happens, things always happen, and we go through, depending on what the type of stress it is, if it's something that we are accomplishing, something that we're doing, if we add into that stress and we can control it, then we can do something about it, right? So if it's something that we can't control, we got to learn to leave it alone, because in the end, it always works out. Things that we can't control, but it comes to this quote, Jim Rohn stated, neglect. If a 1 week of neglect can give you a year of regret. So understanding, your actions and your responses to certain things by looking at what type of stress are we bringing onto ourselves? If it's financial stress, are we making bad financial decisions and hold ourselves accountable? And again, it comes back to the evaluation. So once we identify those things and we can say, I'm causing this stress because I'm doing this action consistently, or I'm not doing this action consistently, I can change that. Then you can alleviate that stress. If there's other stresses, then it's what you can do, but if not, get help somewhere else. And it's okay to get help, but it starts with understanding ourselves and how and what kind of role do we play into what we do every day, being successful or managing stress. But the major thing about stress and when it comes to actually emotional intelligence is really just being observant. Emotional intelligence is nothing difficult, but just we know when we're wrong. We know when we overreact. We know when we respond a certain way. We know when we're being lazy. We know when we're not, holding ourselves accountable. Or if someone else holding me accountable and I'm going off because I don't want them holding me accountable, we understand all of that. So, we have to check ourselves. And when it comes to looking at ourselves and acting in a certain way and changing our way we move, we can eliminate a lot of that stress.
Okay, so by what you're saying is a lot of it has to do with self-awareness then.
Definitely, self-awareness. And also what other people say about us. Your friends around you they know you. Sometimes they know you better than yourself sometimes, because they know how you're going to react. They know what you're going to say. They know you. So, taking account what feedback you get back from your friends and family and taking that. Not saying that everybody's always right, but it's always good to hear feedback and get opinions. And you can, just like now, I think that the society becomes so sensitive with things. Like, people can't say certain, the comedians can't be comedians anymore.
Right.
And it's crazy that, you can't be critical of somebody and not be canceled or whatever. It's okay to be critical. Conflict promotes productivity. So, I'm not saying physical conflict, but if you're in a business meeting, some of my partners, we have conflicts all the time about ideas of things. So if I feel a certain way and they feel a certain way, that's going to produce us to get it right, to make the best decision, because now we have to talk about why I think this is important, why you want to do it this way. And if it doesn't make sense, then we're going to come to an agreement, or we're going to make the best decision together if the goals are not personal, right? So When you, right. you can have a conflict with your husband and your wife about things, but if it's not personal, you're gonna get to the root of it. Things are gonna get better because of that conflict. So if we have a conflict, it comes to a conversation. It brings conversation out that we're able to communicate, and that's okay. That promotes growth. Conflict promotes growth. So if we're arguing or if we disagree with certain things, at the end, if we do things that's not personal, we're gonna grow in our relationship, either business wise or personal wise or whatever. We're gonna understand. So this society now with so much, I know I'm veering off a little bit, but I just hate that. You know, people can't like that. You can't be yourself, you know, or you can't. There's no more conversations. Just cut off. Oh, we ain't gonna have a conversation. You cut off, or you get canceled.
I totally agree with you saying about that, because now we have a cancel society, and that conflict. You're right. It does cause one to focus more attention on whatever the problem is.
Mhm. Yeah, so, you focus on the problem, and you come up with solutions together. Yeah.
That is right. Okay. I have somebody on. Somebody has a question or a comment,
okay.
And I'm going to take it real quick, and then we can go back and get back with the interview.
Okay.
Caller 5073, do you have a question or comment?
Might have both. You know,
okay.
I'm listening to your speaker, and I agree a lot with what I've heard. And then I guess mine is sort of personal. Like mine, I'm thinking about where I work at, and you got to. Okay, I'm gonna get set this scene for you. I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 75-year-old woman, and I still work a 40-hour week job.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only black person in this plant that's a union person. There's only one other black male that's company, which I used to be. Anyway, you're saying that I'm trying to figure out this conflict resolution for me with
mm-hmm.
the people that I work for and with. And I can't find anything there because they don't want black people employed where I work at. They got rid of two. One died mysteriously. Well, I'll say two people died there mysteriously. And they're steady hiring. I've been there almost 20 years. They haven't hired a black person in the union since then. And they let you know that they don't want black people there by their actions.
Hmm.
Now, how am I supposed to deal, you know, with this? Type within this type of setting, you know, like I got everything going on. They even, to the point of I filed discrimination charges against the guy that runs the company. So this is how they did the discrimination review. While I was out on a leave for a little bit, when I came back, they called me in the office and said, they had resolved it and didn't find any discrimination. I said, how'd you do it? Well, we put everybody's name in the box. At that time, there was a black girl working there, too. We put everybody's name in a hat, and I drew out four people. And when she gave me the names, all four of the people, including the black girl, were direct friends of the company person. And I said, how are you going to do that?
Mm.
And I said, if you drew those four names out of the hat, there weren't any other names in it. They're impossible for you to do. So they went on with that. But even when I came back, I've been there for, remember, like 18 years at this time. We all sit in the same spot for 18 years. But when I came back, my chair was moved from a table where I sit with these certain people. So I just thought somebody made a mistake setting up the cafeteria. So I did it every day. So one day I got caught on, and I said, I'm going to go, it's time for lunch. I'm going to make sure my chair is there. So I went like about 5 minutes before lunch and made sure the chair was there. But when I went back to my work site and come back when the bell rang, it was gone again. So I reported it to my supervisor, and I told him what's going on. He laughed. He thought it was funny. I didn't. So it kept on. So it was summer going into fall. I started having my lunch outside. I say, now I took it upon myself to remove myself from that situation so it couldn't happen again. But that's the only way I could do that. So when it got cold, I had to come back in and sit at another spot by myself. That didn't bother me, so I did that. And, you know, I do things trying to keep the peace, but when you're saying, when the guy that I filed discrimination charges get became my boss, he would do stuff like this. When the black girl was there, if I would step out of my department to talk to her, get back in there. You're out of your department. I'm just standing in the doorway, not even out of my department. And he attacks me. But when the white people roam the whole plant, he never says a word. And I would say,
it sounds like, I was going to say, it sounds like a lot of nepotism in there.
Well, I thought nepotism was when you were related. Not
friend, nepotism is friends and people that it's well, you said it's people that they knew each other. I thought maybe I misheard you, I'm sorry. I thought you said the four people was they all knew each other.
Yeah. They were all union people just like me.
Mm.
They chose him, but they were his best friends. Look, the company person's best friend. One and two of them, he played cards with on his break, which in a big corporate America, company cannot play cards on a break with a union people.
So what's your question?
My question is, he said he was sitting up for talking about you can do this and you can do that, and everything should fall into place. Nothing has fallen into place for me, and I've been really nice because I'm not that nice.
Well, I'm gonna say this.
Accordingly, just to keep my job.
Well, I'm gonna say this. How invested are you in that place? I'm sure you've been there for 20 years. So if you're gonna get a pension, it's one thing. But
sweetheart, let me tell you the other reason is I draw my pension where I work at. That's why I still work. I get my pension because at 70 years old, you have to take your pension. So that didn't bother me. So I get my pension, and I can work 40 hours a week, making $20-some dollars an hour. I made way past $20 an hour. And because hire any black people, I refuse to retire.
Hmm. That's what I was going to say is that, the environment there is not for black, not for us, it don't seem like.
And they don't want to give it to us, so I refuse to let it go. So I guess mm-hmm. that's my bed, and I have to lay in it, right?
In that situation, there's nothing you really can do at the job except for if there's any, like, illegal stuff or anything that's discriminatory, you kind of get going with that. I've been in situations where, same thing, where I had a director, and that's why I left my on the job, my teaching position, because this lady was all up in my projects, because she was a new director, and I think she was discriminating. I think she was, she was tailoring me because I was being successful in these pilots, and I was going to get my own program. And she started, I left. I said, I'm not going to be there. because when I put in, I talked to HR and they were, you know, said they didn't see anything. I'm like, you know, I'm out. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sit in a situation and be stressed, because I was stressed for 6 months. And I was like, I was there for 15 years, and for the last 6 months, I was stressed. I got up out of there quick. And so that's what I was saying earlier, was that, you know, depending on how invested you are, if it's something that, if you got to stay for the pension, or like if it's for the money, I understand. But it's just that you have to go in there with a mindset that you know what's going on. So you go in there, you do your job, and, you know, you make the best of being yourself there. And but then you have something outside of there. As long as they're not affecting your pay or making things harder for you, if they're not hiring other blacks in there, or they're acting, you know, there's not too many. If that's their company, that's their company. We can't do too much about it unless we do some legal action. But until then, for yourself personally, you go in there and you go in there with a mindset of, you know what you're going into. So, you know,
one last shot. I got an appointment at 9 o'clock with, I know I can't get nothing done there, but there I always go higher than, everybody has, well, I got, and just so happened they just hired within the corporate company a black guy, and I'll get a chance to find out what he's all about, because he's over all of them. And
That's a good idea.
I got an hour to present my case to him, and I'm going to see what he does with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, caller.
That's actually good.
Hello, Michael, are you still on?
Yep, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, also, what else did you want to mention about the mindset, living with your purpose?
Oh, so, I mean, there's so much in there when it comes to the mindsets, but I think, you know, I would say this with we had COVID last year. A lot of people lost their jobs and lost a lot of things, and they start to see how not having your own, or not having some safety net, or having a little bit more is an issue, especially when you work for other people. And just like the last caller was talking about, she's in an environment she's not comfortable with, and she really can't control it because it's not hers. She do the best she can. And I suggest, you know, like I said, she go in there. You know, when it comes to emotional intelligence, when it comes to that, you go in there aware of your environment and you act accordingly. As long as those people are not disrespecting you, and it's just, you know, you go in there and you make the best of it. But, you know, you find things outside of work to make you happy and to be engaged. And that's all about, you know, purpose and defining what success is to you. So once you define what you want in life and really write those things down and put plans together and actually commit to those things, you change your life. You know, things change, you know. So life changes by choice. We choose to do what we want to do. And we have certain habits that we need to be aware of, that we need to change so that we can get into a habit of success. But, you know, it's just, I think that you know, with last year and how things are, we can see how social media, how life is changing. It's important to have positive mindsets. Anxiety and depression is so it's high now. You know, people are overdosing on drugs and you know, they're doing things because they're self-medicating because they can't deal with a lot of society pressures or just a lot of different things. So, you know, practicing mindfulness and emotional intelligence and absorbing information that is positive and conducive to what you want. So when you define the things you want, if you want to go to school, there's individuals who are on the fence of thinking they have a business idea they have not got the ground for 3 years because they put it off. Why? Ask yourself why. That's a potential moneymaker. That's something that you can be investing your time in that avoids certain distractions of doing other things. So, purpose is so important because it penetrates other areas of our life. If you start to get up and start working out and be committed to that, that's going to have a ripple effect of you eating better. It's going to be a ripple effect of you feeling better. So you're going to do more. You're going to be more productive. Once you develop that habit of consistency and discipline with that, then you're going to start doing other things. So then it just attracts other stuff. But if we're unhappy with our life, and again, like I said earlier, it's not about what other people do, it's what we do. It's how we respond and what we decide to do. If you go home every day and watch TV and eat fast food, don't work out, you can't complain about having a big stomach. You can't complain about being broke. You can't complain about, a lot of things because we are in control of our life. So, again, it's just, not saying that there's things that life doesn't happen and it's not easy for us. I mean, it's a more struggle for us to get ahead because we're black. We kind of get behind. But it doesn't give us an excuse to not do. It doesn't give us an excuse not to be active. So we have to be in control of who we are and what we're doing and hold ourselves accountable. We're not circle that hold us accountable. We're not having yes men or yes women that's only there because you can cook. Only there because, you've been my friend for 30 years, so that's it, but I can't tell you nothing. I don't want no friend that can't tell me nothing. All my friends tell me the truth, if I like it or not. That's what I want. That's what we all want. But, it kind of goes back to the society of, this sensitivity. People can't say nothing. I remember I was in a meeting earlier, and we were talking about how it takes a village. I'm out here in Joliet, and there's a lot of the school system, there was a lot of fights in the last two. The first 2 weeks of school, we had 75 suspensions for fighting. I think a lot of it because the school system, we had a question, too, about the school system. I get a school system of 4 or 5. They've taken away rules and regulations and making it worse for our kids, especially our black kids. That needs to change. But it takes a village to help the community and to raise our kids and to be there. So when I say take a village, we need more mentors. We need more people that are doing things that the kids can see are being active and being there. It's crazy that a lot of black households don't have have two-parent households. The father and the mother are not together. That's a problem in a black community. So we need the village. We need people to be active in it so kids can see. And it starts with ourselves. It starts with us identifying what we want and actually be walking in our purpose and doing what we should be doing so that we can see how we can better help and create and support other people, support other black businesses, to support other people in their struggles. And if you overcame addiction, if you overcame a struggle or something, you're a mentor now. You can help other people do that. We need our community. We need our village. We need people to get out of home and be active doing something that you're good at, something that you're passionate about, something that you want to see change. Because it takes the village. I know I'm kind of going off a little bit about that, but it's just.
I don't know. You can talk about anything you want to talk about.
And it's my first time being on a podcast. So I don't know the layout.
Believe me. I wanted to ask you about something. I watched the videos, and I want to know about the mandate discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were very interesting. So could you tell us about them?
Yeah, and actually, we need to get back to doing some more of those. But with the series, it was black men got together and we just talked about different topics. I think it was last year. So current event, and then also just things in the community. You know, just things in the black community that we changed and just our thoughts on that. And it was you know, having different opinions, different types of people. It was some of us disagreed with certain things and challenged each other, but then it promoted some growth and we got to a point where we understood. But it was a good discussion with black men just about the community and what we can be doing better, how we can and what we should be doing. We talked about so much. I think it was like four. I think it was four parts of that, right? Yeah. But we actually need to start doing that again. I needed to do another series of that because we had a lot going on since last year.
I did enjoy that.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I need to. My time has been writing
more of that.
Definitely. I'm trying to finish this book up, so I haven't been doing any more videos because that's my priority now. I want to get that done. I want to get it done before the end of the month so I can start getting it printed and getting circulation. And then I'll start making videos. But I have a lot of other content. I just haven't edited yet. And a lot of good conversations with different people. And it's good. It sparks. One thing I love about doing video is that, I love talking, but it's a way to really express, you know, and talk to other individuals and kind of spark somebody to say, hey, you know what, I want to be a part of this, or I have this idea, because those videos are meant to empower people, get people thinking, and maybe even having some individuals reach out and be like, hey, you know, I want to contribute with this or with that. But I guess want to promote us and do my part and try to improve our community and enlighten our community with how to be successful so that we all can be successful, so that we can have the black dollar circulate longer in our communities.
How did you get involved with Gatekeepers?
A couple of years ago, actually around a pandemic time, earlier last year, actually, a guy named Lonzo Wahi, it was a community meeting at the church out here in Joliet, and I enjoyed listening to Lonzo. I enjoyed the content and just the people trying to do something in the community. And I was just kind of getting back and getting back home at that time. I moved back, and I reached out to him, and he told me about Gatekeeper. It's something he created that is a program, or it's a community of black men that are promoting each other, but are getting educated, but also being active and being diligent in the community. So I like that. I like that. I want to be a part of that. So we, I just connected with him, and it was just since then we've done some food drives. We're handing some food out to the homeless. We did some of those videos. We've been doing some other things in the community, and a lot of individuals that's on Gatekeepers are part of other organizations. So they bring in, you know, different aspects and their relationships in there as well. So, you know, we're still, you know, developing and getting Gatekeepers how we want to move. We're trying to do we did a test pilot of an 8-week program. We had eight men. We had men from 16 to, I think the oldest was like 65, and it was more like a mentor curriculum. So I did an 8-week program kind of on my book. We talked about different things from like goal setting and financial literacy and things like that. And 8 weeks, you know, we had, you know, probably average of like 19, 20 guys in there. We started off, we had like 45, but it was really successful. Every week we came together and we just talked about, you know, life for that week. Guys talked about if they had some things to talk about. We gave a platform to be able to talk and express. But then I had a curriculum, you know, we talked about, and it was like, you know, a little homework and things for them to do to really put in practice the things that we talked about in those meetings. So the gatekeepers is something that I really enjoyed the idea. I really liked the idea from Lonzo, and I just had to be a part of it.
I agree. Lonzo, I love to hear him speak. He was my very first guest.
Really?
Yes, that I had on this podcast. Yes.
And Lonzo, like me, he can talk.
When he comes on, I have to go over the time I normally have. Because it's needed. And then usually that's not enough time. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
will go by so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a really, really good guy, very passionate, and he's a genuine person, and we need more people like that in leadership. You know, he's a definite leader, and he's trying to do good things out here, and you know, we need more people to come out and just be active. You know, and I like what he's doing, and I support him 100%.
I do, too, because I like the things that he's done, I mean, with justice reform and all that. So, yeah, I talk to him. I'll call him. He'll call me, and he'll say, you know what, you have this person on. I'm like, okay. So he recommends them. They on my podcast.
I'm so glad that he connected me with you because – I enjoy this. I mean, I enjoy, and you can tell I'm passionate about what I do, and I like spreading the word and, you know, trying to help people. That's my purpose is to empower and to help people. You know, it's just the you know, we all have a background that we come from, or certain things. Sometimes, you know, our history, the things that we go through, it crumbles us, but sometimes it can inspire you. And I just want to show people, like, hey, you can use your past to inspire you. You can move for that, you know. And because I've learned to do that, and Lonzo learned to do that. You know, a lot of people that are leaders, you know, they effective leaders, not the ones we have in presidents and stuff like that. I'm not saying that, but like the people who are respected leaders, who emerge leaders by action and doing things, they come from. They have things they overcome, and you know it's when it comes to life when people are struggling with depression or struggling with they know they have a nasty negative attitude or they're just not enjoying life. If you're not enjoying life, that not what other people are doing. Now again, everybody's circumstance is different. We all have different times. I've had times where I had terrible years where it was just just one thing after another. So I'm not saying that in life, but just overall. If you're not enjoying life, it's something that you have to look at and change. And when you do that, you live. Like, you know, you're not just maintaining, you're living. And you're enjoying the beauty that is around us and opportunities that we have. And just, you know, just going out and socializing with family or friends and going to see a live play or something like that, just, you know, you can enjoy things. So I like talking about that. So I'm glad that connect me with you. And anytime that I can get out there and spread the word and try to, you know.
Right, definitely. I would definitely have you back. There's another person who has a question or comment.
Okay.
6120, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Great guest you have tonight. I just wanted to say that. But I had a question for you, guest. And the question is this. Why don't you think more people teach their kid about kids or more people have conversations about having the right mental attitude? Because to me, that's really what most of what success boils down to, having the right mental attitude,
mm-hmm.
setting the goal,
mm-hmm.
and following through on that goal. You know, like you got to become possessed with it. It can't be a mere hope or wish. Like you have to put the goal in your mind and allow your subconscious to lock in on it. And once that takes place, that's where the magic begins to happen. So I was, because, mm-hmm. you know, I learned this stuff like in middle school, but I was wondering, like, I mean, the brain is such a powerful tool, like you spoke earlier. And most people, I guess because it's given to us, we don't even value it.
Six one two zero, are you there?
I think I lost them.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Probably come back. Oh. But definitely, I agree with you. The mind is a powerful tool. The mind is like a muscle, and you know we can make it stronger by practicing and filling it with content. But to answer your question, I think that the reason why we don't, teach mindsets or a positive mindset, because it's not something that sometimes some of the parents don't know. You know, it's not something that we focus on. I think
right.
that – oh, there you go. You're back. Okay. I think sometimes we're not focused on, but it's all about our daily habits and rituals, what we do. You know, and, you know, I think that it is taught to a certain degree if you model it. So, like, if you grow up and, like, so I know my dad, he didn't necessarily teach that to me because that's not necessarily what we do. But I saw him. He modeled that behavior. He modeled a behavior of just he was very just he was quiet and he was calculating, but he thought before he reacted. I think that's probably why I got some of that from. So it's, but at the same time, if we all are human, some people are struggling with certain things, and it's easier to take it out on people we love. So if you're at home and you know you have a bad day, you come home and the kids mess all loud or whatever, you're gonna react a certain way. You know, so kids pick up on how the parents roll. You know, what are we teaching them? What are we teaching them from our actions? Because kids, we know kids pick up stuff from the early age. They 1 to 2 years old, you got to watch what you say around the 1 year old, 2 year old, because they're going to say it. You know what I mean? But they still learning at 13. I mean, it's a different way. It's just how we move, how we react. So, for instance, I know when I come home, I make sure my son sees me cleaning. He sees when I go to business meetings and I'm doing interviews or whatever time. If I have him, he's not going to babysitter. He's coming with me. He's seeing how I conduct business. He's seeing how I move, how I develop relationships. He's seen me talk to so many different people, different types of meetings. So, I mean, yeah, he's probably bored. He's probably on his tablet, and he's not really bored. He's in his tablet. Sometimes he helps me out with my videos and stuff, so he's being active with that. I mean, after a while, he's still a kid. He may want to do something else. But when he's 21 and he looks back at doing me, he's going to have a blueprint. So, you know what? I do want to start a business. Or, you know what, I need to be more productive because I see my dad cleaning. I see my dad doing this. I see my dad doing that. So it's about our action.
Right. And so I also had a comment with respect to emotional intelligence. And I know mm-hmm. one caller called earlier, but I think what you said was totally correct. Like, you might not be able to control the environment, but you can always control how you respond to an environment or situations. And for the slaves, mm-hmm. they couldn't control their environment. So one emotional intelligence approach that they used was, you know, Negro spirituals. Like, yo, the slave
mm-hmm.
master might not see the humanity in us, but we know we are humans. And so
mm-hmm.
we'll go out here and do the field thing, but once we get back among ourselves, you know, we'll comfort each other and we'll go from that perspective. So they definitely use emotional intelligence, and that's how a lot of them got by. So.
Yeah.
And
you're 100% right about that, and we have – soul food from the thing that they threw away. We made the best
True.
Out of it. You know what I mean?
Right. So that was another responding to it. You giving us the slop, but we gonna turn the slop into, you know, something that we gonna celebrate it because this is what we have. So we gonna respond to it this way. So yeah, you're right.
I'm glad you say that because that is a perfect way to how you can make you know, you can turn something bad out of good by your mindset. You don't know how powerful
that's the
that
mental
is.
Right.
Yeah.
Mind is a problem solver. That's why they don't teach that in school. Like your mind is that's the nature of the beast. This is there to solve problems. Lions come with claws and giraffes have strength and gorillas have power, and the humans show up with our brain. That's the greatest gift. That's the most powerful tool on planet Earth. But nobody's telling us how, you know.
Yep.
Number one, how powerful it is, and number two, how to control it and how to use it.
And
that's my thoughts, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate you, man. And that's why I'm writing this book, and I'm putting these curriculums out here because I want to create tools for people to find a purpose, learn how to be disciplined, how to use emotional intelligence, and I break everything down. I mean, I get scrapped the surface of a lot of topics we hear, but like it really breaks down, and it's all about habits and creating the and identifying that, and you can be successful. Everybody can be successful. It's easy to do that, but again, it starts with the mind.
I totally agree, and you do inspire change. I have to throw that in there. And also, I want you to talk about, you mentioned a little bit on this ownership, being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on that a little more?
Yeah, so everything that I teach, it runs full circle. And we talk about purpose and passion. So, right now I think everyone should have a way to invest their money where they're not working and trading hours for money, their time for money. We're in a golden age now where we can use our talents and our passion to make money. And, and ownership is so important where, of course, you have a multi-level marketing, which is okay, it's good. It helps you. One thing about with that, it helps people learn discipline, learns a structure of how to be an entrepreneur. But you don't own it. It's not yours. You can own your stuff. I'm not throwing shade on that at all, so don't get me wrong with that. But there's nothing like owning your stuff. Or having, you get more, you want more kickback. So when it comes to like purpose and passion, there's things that we can go to school and learn, or trade or something. I see a lot of people are can cook, they are doing a catering business, or individuals you can write a book. I think everybody have a story, and once you write a book, it's always there. You can always sell that. But there's so many different things that you can do when you find your purpose or start to look at that and start being around other people and start to really hone into your ideas. And you can do things on the side to make some extra money. That I think because my point was from last year, how we lost, a lot of people lost a lot of different things. But when you own certain things and you developing a nest egg for yourself where black people are now starting to invest more in stocks. Learn how to invest in stocks, learn how to invest in real estate, knowing the trends, and you don't have to go to school to become a real estate agent, but you can be around other real estate agents. You can talk to those individuals and meet with them. In one of my videos, I talked to a branch manager at the Citibank. He's a black guy. We talked about how to utilize the bank more we go to the bank to cash our checks and, maybe get money orders, things like that. But there's other things that banks can do, that especially for businesses and, learn how, I also talked to an accountant. So talking to an accountant and maybe get an idea that you want to create and talk to an accountant, issue the right business structure, talk to the bank, see what kind of money you can have or what you need to do. And, you may not get approved for certain things, but the more you know, the more you can reach, you know what you need to do to get approved. You know what you need to do to get to the second stage. Maybe on level one, but you know where you want to go. But, being an entrepreneur is not for everyone. It takes You got to be committed to it. But find something that you can make some money. Just put a focus on that, that you can do some things on the side here and there. And then you have more income coming in. You're saving for your retirement. And you're able to enjoy life more without a lot of stress. We all want more money and also want to decrease stress as much as we can. I know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. I don't think that a lot of black people utilize a lot of what's out there because they just don't know about it.
And that's what it is. We wasn't brought up around. I wasn't brought up around. My granny was from Mississippi. She was 70 years. She was 71 when she died. I was 16. She had a sixth grade education. My grandfather, he had like a fifth grade education. We was working class. You know, we didn't have a lot of lawyers, a lot of people going to college. I was the first person in my family to go to college. So I wasn't taught these things. You know, it was, and the more that people are investing now and getting into other investments and doing different careers, now our kids now are seeing that. So we have more blacks that are more educated. We have more blacks that are entrepreneurs and business owners, and is not in the projects of poverty. They're doing other things. So, you know, again, that's that modeling I was talking about. You know, so we're starting to see, but we do have to do a better job with teaching things like the other caller was saying. We need to talk about, we see certain things, talk about positive mindset. We need to start eating at the table more often. We have to do more family vacations and doing things, or not even vacation, but just getting together more often with family. Those are all things that we used to do when I was growing up. And it's just I know my family is kind of hard. It's how everybody got so. Some people can't make it. They're always busy. So we have to make time for the right things so that we can not only enjoy life, but we can be that model to our kids that's coming up after us.
I totally agree with everything you're saying. And I do think, you know, black families need to get together more often.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that, everybody has their own life going also. But, yeah, they need to make time for it. They make time for everything else that they want to do.
Yeah. You know, you make time for what you want. You can take some stuff out and add family time in there and add time to educate yourself. You know, it's a little bit different for me because, you know, I'm very active and, you know, trying to inspire other people and to write curriculums and books. But everyone else should be finding certain books that they can read, even if it's audio book. You know, and, you know, you're riding to work or something like that. Download.
8 seconds left, so I want.
Okay.
Any last thoughts you want to throw out there before we go? Because it automatically cuts off. And thank you for being my guest.
You're welcome. Anyone at all, you can follow me just go to my YouTube channel, Empower527, or website, empower527.com. And connect there. But just, you know, define your success, define what you want, and, you know, just practice gratefulness and, you know, just know that you control what you want in life. And, you know, you have to make that choice.
Well, thank you so much. I'm definitely going to have you back on, and I want to thank my audience for listening, and you all have a wonderful evening and stay safe.
Take care, everyone. It was a pleasure. Very pleasant. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, and I'm definitely going to have you on again. Thank you.
Looking forward to it.